If you have your Bibles, turn into 2 Corinthians chapter 8. A little later, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 15. In the bulletin, you'll see that the sermon title is Give and Take. And as Rick said, we talked about generosity. And the body of the church, or our congregation of members and our attenders, and don't we often think of us as a family? Isn't that what we say, the family of God? We think of Bangor Liberty as a family. And right now, part of our family is down making a really good meal for us in the kitchen. So thank you, those who are in the kitchen. You can probably hear me. We get together at least one time a week, and we fellowship, and we spend time together, and we talk during the sermon, and all these other things. And I'm not going to say who that was. But we know each other's... We know each other's business, we know each other's families, we know what each other does for work, we know our hobbies, we kind of know our dislikes. Don't we kind of just being around each other, at least once a week, don't we kind of get a general feel for who does what, and we notice when somebody gets a haircut, and we notice little things that you do in a family, don't we? Some people get along with everybody most of the time, and some people don't. But what makes us a family isn't what we know about each other, or even whether or not we get along all the time. Because in my family growing up, we didn't know everything about each other all the time. I didn't always know what my sisters were doing. I didn't always know what my brother was doing or my parents were doing. And it really wasn't even about whether we got along all the time, which we did. But no, we didn't. I'm just joking. Because, you know, in a family, you don't always get along all the time, do you? But if something came at one of us, if someone was standing over here alone and something came at them, the rest of the family would come around and we would bond together around them and we would all kind of become one, wouldn't we? And whether that person needed healing or whether that person needed comfort, and then if they're too weak to stand, somebody holds them up while somebody else, you know, protects. Isn't that what a family does? We stick together in times of need. That's the way we should be working as a church family, isn't it? Isn't that kind of what you think about when somebody's in need? Then you help them out. Sean and my transmission went out. We got anonymous monies for that. And then the church gave us some money to help out for that for the home emergency fund at a time where, you know what, we really were in need and we thank you. And it's about watching somebody's kids when something comes up or being there when there's an emergency for the family or going and seeing them in the hospital. Or Charlene taking the time to bring somebody home from the hospital this week as a friend. Not as a job, but as a family member, to really, really look after each other. And you know, we all pitch in every Sunday in the offering plate, right, to keep things running, to support God's ministries. And you know, some people may be thinking, you know, he has been here for about a year. There's going to be a sermon on tithing in here somewhere. I know it. And as Rick talked about generosity, well, this isn't that sermon. But that's one thing we do, isn't it? We all give into the offering plate, and it all gets spread out for God's work. And it gets spread out for the church, and that money you put into the offering plate goes into the home emergency fund and helps people in the community and helps people within the church family. But the point of the message, it's not about money. It's about the ebb and flow of a family. It's about the give and take. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is all about generosity. And we'll start with verse 1. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. They did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped for. Their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be acceptable, or be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly, and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. As the scriptures say, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Now, what Paul is doing here in chapter 8 is he's going around and he's collecting money for the churches of God. And he talks about people, talks about churches and people who have given out of poverty, but he says that they didn't give beyond their means. He's saying, be honest with what you should give. The point in verses 14 or 12 and 13 is whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean there should be some equality. The point is that in all of the believers, all of the churches that he's going to, all of the churches give for one thing, for the Lord's work, don't they? And what do they do with that money? They put it all together. And like he says, it makes equality. So that when everything is put together, even a church who only gives a little bit and a church who gives much, he puts it all together and it's enough for the Lord's work. In other words, he's not necessarily looking for equal donations, because when it's all put together, those who gave a little would be made up by those who gave a lot. Just give with an eager heart, and don't be embarrassed if you can only give a little, because in verse 14, Paul says, right now you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. So not only is it okay if a church who's in poverty gives a little and a church who is in plenty gives a lot, but notice how he said, give with a generous heart, because you keep that generous heart, and then when that church who is in poverty is no longer in poverty, and that church who had a lot all of a sudden has less, and they still have those generous hearts, they give according to what they can, and so then when it's all put together, it's still the same amount. It's still equal. And that's what a family does. And so we see the ebb and flow of the body believers. Now, I said that this sermon isn't about money, but we sure are talking about it a lot, aren't we? Second Corinthians chapter 8 would seem that it's all about money and giving to, and Paul's on this, he's on a campaign to raise money for God's work. Yes, that's his example. But in verse 14, I think it's very important. Then he says, right now you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. And then he quotes Exodus chapter 16, 18 in 2 Corinthians 15. So I'm going to turn over to Exodus chapter 16 right now. And I'm going to look at verses 11 through 18 real quick. Then the Lord says to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them in the evening you will have a meal to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp, and the next morning the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is this? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it's the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little, but when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. So here in this example, we understand that we see the family working together, because he's talking about, Moses says to collect enough, not for you, right? He says collect enough for 2 quarts for everyone in your tent. So he sends them out in families. And who knows who all is in these people's tents, but you may have parents, you might have grandparents, you might have some relatives, and you've got some kids, and they all go out, and they're all picking up this food that the Lord has given them. Now, some of them can only gather a little. It's like Tyler going out. And his hands are very small, and he can only grab a little bit, and Jaron can grab even less. But as his father, I can go out, and I know that as a kid, you learn to pull your shirt up and stick it in your mouth, right? And then you stick stuff in it like this. I know to do that, so I'm filling up my shirt with all of this food, and Chandra, being an older parent, can do the same. And as Moses says here, when everybody comes back to their tent, everybody has enough. Because you divide it all up. Because they're a family. It's give and take. The parents give, and the kids will probably need to receive some of what their parents were able to give. And someday, we understand that the parents will be too old. And the kids will now be gathering more. So when the parents could gather more, they gave to their kids. And when the parents could no longer gather as much, their kids could gather more, and they gave to their parents. So at all times, it's equal. This is the example that I was talking about earlier about how the family would come together when one was weak or hurt, and together we would carry each other's burdens. And that's the point of the message. As a church family, we were designed to ebb and flow and support each other in equality. You come here, it's more than just church. It's more than just a place to come and listen to a really, really great message every Sunday, isn't it? I had to get a laugh somewhere. It's more than just church. It's a place that you can come, and if you've got a burden, or maybe you're all alone, or maybe you're older, or maybe you're in plenty. Maybe you're in need. But when we all come together right here, all of our needs are met, right? Everybody's needs can be met right here, because there's always going to be someone who can help meet your need as a family, and we will wrap you up. It's a support system. It's a family, and that's how we should be. No matter what they are, no matter where they are, no matter what they need, we bond together as a church. And when that person in return becomes strong enough again, then they become a gracious giver to someone else in the family who needs to receive. We all know that there's times when we can all give, right? We need to give graciously, and we all know that there's times when we need to receive, right? And so you need to receive graciously. But do you realize what you do to your family when you refuse to receive? Or even ask for help? Do you know what you're doing to your family? Do you know what you're doing to yourself? Because this is a part of the family that's kind of hard for me to understand because of my personality. I am one who says, you know, I would love to receive. If you have a blessing to give me, by all means. I love the book, The Prayer of Jabez, because here you've got this huge genealogy, and it's one of those nice fun genealogies where it's whoever is related to whoever is related to whoever, and then who's related to Jabez, and then it says, but Jabez prayed this, oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed. And so in this whole genealogy of people, here they put in this prayer that would seem to us kind of a selfish prayer, wouldn't it? Oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed, first of all, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, and that you would expand my territories. And once I've learned how to pray that prayer, I love that prayer because God has blessings. You just have to ask for them. Just the way it is with the family can bless you. But how is the family supposed to bless you if they don't even know? How is the family supposed to bless you? Chandra had a friend back in Ohio who had a miscarriage and didn't tell anybody for a year. Oh, it just breaks my heart so much. It just breaks my heart to think that someone in my family was standing out there alone when we could have wrapped them up and held them up and comforted them and helped them. But they wouldn't. But for whatever reason, whether it was embarrassment or pride or just didn't want to be a bother, didn't want to come to the family. If you don't come to your family when you're in your time of need, you just took away somebody else's opportunity to be generous to you. You just took away somebody else's opportunity to be a gracious giver. And you took away your own gift. The gift of love that someone wants to give to you. Until you receive in your time of need, it's just like everything else. Until you experience it on one end, how do you really understand the other end? Until you experience somebody giving something to you in your time of need, how do you really truly understand what it means when you're giving to someone else in their time of need? Because for me to understand, to truly understand, you know, yeah, it makes me feel good when I give. But it's so much more than just a good thing. It's an understanding. It's an equality. It said, okay, I know what you're going through. I really know what you're going through. So I don't give you this gift just because you need it, but I give it out of love because I understand. Because I know what it's like to be in need. But that's what the family is for, isn't it? That's why we're here. Corinthians chapter 8, verse 14 says, right now you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. Equal. As a family, we need to be equal. We need to have that ebb and flow. We can't just have one side of the church be givers and one side of the church be receivers, can we? We'll get pretty lopsided. No, we all need to be equal in this. I beg of you, if you have a need, come to your church family. If you have a gift to give, come to your church family. So the two questions at the end of this message are you doing your part in coming to your family when you need them? And are you doing your part to give in your time of plenty? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have designed us to be a family, to help one another out, to fellowship, and to help keep each other on the course, to help us help someone in their time of need, to be able to come together in a big group of people who some have plenty and some have less at times, and it flip-flops, and we put it all together. But at the same time, the church still has that ebb and flow and is still equal. Because we care about each other and we love each other, Father God. And I pray that you would give us the gracious hearts, the generous hearts that we need to give to our church family and to give to you. And I also pray that you would give us the gracious hearts to receive that we need, Father God. Just to know that we're not a burden to our family when we're in need, if we just need something. Because that's how you have designed us to be. Help us to show that love to one another like we've never before. In both ways, Father God. Amen.